welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
So you notice we stopped earlier, and then I talked about this. Now, who was here? Who was able to be here last week? Let's just have a quick show of hands. This isn't. I'm not taking a register. Okay, right. It just gives me a little bit of help on how much to recap. All right. One of the things that happened last week at this sort of spot was we really started to go for it. Do you remember? On we are not of those who shrink back. Amen. We are not of those who give up. Yeah. And it got very loud. There were very loud people in this room, of which my granddaughter was one of them. Kate said at one point she almost asked her to be a bit quieter, but, you know, you couldn't really, could you? So we are not of those who shrink back. That is absolutely key. That is absolutely important that we have resolute believers who are determined to press on. Because what is absolutely certain is there's an enemy who's equally determined to push us back. And we'll use all kinds of unfair strategies to ensure that. Mental health is a big one, okay, where the enemy attacks us in our minds and it really pushes us back. We lose sight of the vision. We lose sight of the fact that we've been called. And it feels like, no, I'll just get on with life. This is life. This is strength. Okay, so what I want to pick up on today is more about, well, how do we do that? Because there is a reality check here of how do you get into that. And a few people asked me, well, where does it say that in the Bible? And so I thought I'd just start there first. Okay? And I thought I'd go back just a little bit because it's, I think what the writer to the Hebrews is saying here is also important. So I'm in Hebrews 10. I'm at verse 32. Okay, in the NIV. Now, you don't necessarily need to follow this bit in your Bible, but you can do. Let's just read it. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light. Okay, so when you got saved. But look at the very next phrase. When you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Okay? Sometimes Christians think that it's all just about, oh, well, I'm a Christian, everything's going to be wonderful and lovely. Sorry to disappoint you, we're still in the world. We're called to be in heaven, we're called to live in heaven, but you will face suffering. But what you have is a God who will take you through it.
Yeah, amen.
All right, let's read on. Sometimes, I mean, these guys are really suffering persecution. We don't come close to the guys that he's writing to here, but the point's still there. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. Now, that's important because that happens. But you don't. If you're being insulted because you're obnoxious, that is not suffering for Christ. Yeah. If you're really just getting on people's nerves because you won't shut up when they want a bit of peace, that's not persecution, okay? I've seen too many rude Christians claiming that they're being persecuted. No, you're just rude. All right? We are called to love, not to be rude.
Amen, amen, amen.
People that stand on the roadside with banners condemning various sections of this community, even if you agree with it or don't agree with it, they're rude. It's not required. God said, love your enemy, let alone your neighbor.
Yes, right.
All right? Putting up a notice saying you're going to hell is not loving. You know, they'll say, oh, yes, yeah, loving, because they need to know the truth. Well, they're not going to get it from you if that's what it says on the banner. They'll ignore you and anything else you've got to say because you've just been incredibly rude. So let's be careful with this suffering and persecution. There is suffering and persecution, but there should always be a double check. Was I just rude? Did I just go over the top? You know? Kath is laughing away over there. Anyway, we all know what I mean, I think. If you don't know what I mean, ignore it. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were being treated like that. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Wow, we haven't been there yet, have we? This is the New Testament. It does us a bit good to wise up sometimes and realize we have got it fabulous. We are very, very blessed. Yes, there was a lady that got stopped from wearing a cross that worked for British Airways. That is not this. Okay? Because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Yeah. Heavenly ones. Our reward's in heaven. Let's not get focused on having stuff here. It's nice to have stuff here. It's a blessing. God blesses his people. But that's not our focus. This is part of what stirs us, you see, that says we won't give up. Because otherwise, if you haven't got this kind of acknowledgement, when something difficult comes along, you fall over. You collapse. There's no condemnation in those that have fallen over and collapsed. The rest of us, we need to come along and help you get up again. But how about we be part of the team that's helping the others get up again? You know? Everybody has a time when they fall and stumble. So there's no judgment. There's no condemnation in it. That's just life. Because there's also times when we are living so victoriously, so happy, so full of God. We need all of those times. Anyway, so don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. There is a reward for those who don't give up. Sometimes we forget that bit. You know, it seems almost like, really? Really? I thought we all did it because of... Yeah, but there is a reward from God. And that reward will last forever. Wow. That's better than a Ferrari. It's only going to cost you money to insure and run and debt on the loan and, you know, even though they look pretty. So, you'll need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Oh, come on. This kind of stuff is being missed out sometimes in the church. You will have to persevere to receive what God has promised. Yeah. It's not all just, oh, thanks, Jesus. That's lovely. Thanks, Father Christmas. Because that's what sometimes he becomes. And you're trying to work out if you've been naughty or nice. To be honest, it's not really important in terms of you receiving God's grace, whether you've been naughty or nice, because Jesus paid for all the niceness and all the naughtiness on the cross. It's by grace. Anyway, in just a little while, he's now quoting from the Old Testament, Habakkuk. In just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. It was written 2,000 years ago. So you think, well, that seems like a bit of a delay to me, 2,000. Look, if the scientists happen to be right and the Big Bang happened 13.8 billion years ago, okay, 2,000 years in that time frame isn't very much. It's a blink of an eye. I happen to believe that this 2,000 years needs to be taken in the context of eternity. So that is a short delay. It just doesn't seem it to us because we're caught up in the now. If you were a mouse, anyone here? No, if you were a mouse, 10 minutes seems a lot longer. You have a very short lifespan. So you live at high speed. So it means time seems longer, probably, hypothetically. Okay? It depends on who you are. We're not heavenly beings in heaven right yet. So time seems very long, but 2,000 years is nothing. And, says the writer to the Hebrews, my righteous ones, that's us, will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But the writer to the Hebrews, that, don't forget, he's quoting the old, and we're living in grace now, not under law. But, he says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back. That's where it came from. You'll be pleased I didn't carry on and I stopped there. Because if you read the next bit, it's like, ooh, it's a little bit worried. But we do not belong to those who shrink back. We do not. We're here by grace. Amen. That's why he's writing it. He's saying, you are not of that group. You are not of that group. You are not of that group. Every single person here, we are not of those who shrink back. We may be of those who sometimes doubt. We may be of those who stumble. We may be of those, well, we definitely are, who are not perfect, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Well, if you shrink away from God and sort of went completely away from God, I mean, it's really talking about people who've never even known him to some extent here, you are heading for an eternity without God himself, which will be like complete destruction. We won't go into the Greek of the word because I'm not preaching on this. So, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we belong to those who have faith and are saved. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the first verse of Hebrews 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Okay? So, what I want to do this morning is something similar to what we were doing on Thursday night at God Encounter. I want to give you some practical tools so we can be assured that we are doing everything we can to not shrink back. Because God has equipped us and enabled us to do so, to not do so, I suppose, strictly speaking. Okay, so that's, I'm going to not actually preach for much longer, because we're going to be practically engaging in some different ways. Okay, so what we're going to do, one way, and how you live a life that's not shrinking back is to pray. So what we're going to go through this morning is a practical way to pray. It's not the only way to pray by any means, but it's a way to pray that will equip you and will enable you. And it's to do with speaking, and it's to do with trusting. In other words, that faith that's confident and sure in what we hope for. And remember, having faith means you doubt. You weren't expecting me to put it like that. Without doubt, there is no faith. Faith overcomes doubt. Yeah? Without fear, there is no courage. That's why there's the negative. Faith overcomes. If you're hungry, what do? Eat. Yes, these are not difficult questions. I'm not trying to be that sort of tricksy preacher that leads you along and then says, no! What do you do if you're thirsty? You drink. So we need to see if I am walking with God, what do I do? What do I do to eat? What do I do to drink? And obviously, the thing that we can really feast on is God Himself. So how do we do that? Well, God is the Word, the Logos, and God is Spirit. If you remember the kids on Easter Sunday, they had the sword of the Word and the sword of the Spirit. So we need to engage with the Spirit and be getting into the Word of God. The great, wonderful, beautiful thing when you pray with the Word of God is that you know this is God's Word. You're not making something up. You're not getting carried away in something. This is God's Word. So you can be absolutely sure and certain that you're going to have what you're praying for. You're going to see what you're praying for. But it did say in Hebrews, you have to persevere to receive what God has promised. This is why Jesus taught when he was teaching about prayer. You need to ask, you need to seek, you need to knock. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Okay, so what we're looking at, some of you this morning, you think, yeah, this is something that I know. Okay, but for others, this might be completely fresh. And we'll pray by the grace of God and his mercy that there's an element, even in what might be familiar, there will come a freshness. I believe what God wants to do and why we're going to worship after this is because God is going to release a prayerful anointing upon this congregation. All right? But the candle doesn't work if you don't light it. So we're going to look at how we light the candle. All right? You can have all the training in the world, but if you just sit in an armchair, it don't make much difference. You can read all the books, but you still won't know how to bring up a baby until you actually do it. Or whatever. Or even how to be a granny. Yeah, right. So we're going to use a passage that probably most of us are familiar with in Ephesians chapter 1. So you might want to put a finger in that. But initially, I don't actually want you to focus on your Bible. We're going to do that later. So initially, I'm just going to read this passage through slowly. And we'll put some music on in the background just to drown out some of the seagulls and the creaks of this building and whirring of machinery. And I'm just going to read. And it would be easy to get lost in kind of thinking about it and Bible studying it and all kinds of things. What's the Greek of that word? Let's leave that out for now. Don't say that very often, do I, Ron? All I want us to do in this initial read through is, as little bits mean something to you, or you occur to you, just say, and you can say it out loud or you can say it silently, thank you, Jesus. That's it. Just be thankful for the word. You're just saying thank you. In other words, you're accepting that that's his word. You might doubt it. You might feel funny, peculiar feelings about it. But it's still God's word that you can be thankful for. And knowing that if you've got true revelation, then it would make perfect sense Every little obscure bit of the Bible that we struggle over, it makes perfect sense. We just don't always understand that. So we're going to do that. And if while I do this, you want to, if you want to sit on the floor and lean on a wall or go and lie down or get on your face or just kneel, you can do that too. Don't think you've got to sit in that chair. You might want a bit of space, get away from people next to you. Having talked about community, this is a good spot to just be you and God. And I will read. So you don't. It's better if you don't read. Just listen and be thankful. After that, we will use the Bibles together. Okay? If you're here Thursday night, you will know what we're going to do next with the Word. But we'll leave that until we get there. Let's initially receive from the Word, reading the Word, and be thankful for it. Okay, I will pause for a while at points as well, just to enable you to continue in that attitude of thankfulness. You can thank for specific things as well. Okay? So this is Paul, St. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, but actually writing to Christians everywhere, in all places of the world, in all time. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. This was in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in Christ, to now be put into effect, for when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. But you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Keep asking that the Lord of our God, sorry, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and sat him at his right hand in the heavenly realm, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and above every name that can be invoked, not only in this present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church which is his body, the fullness of Christ who fills everything in every way. Hallelujah. Now, this is a little bit intrusive because normally you could just flow from this into the next part, but because we're training and equipping, I'm coming in with a little bit more of instruction. We're going to move into the next bit. Just before I do, this is something that you can do at home. To read, that was the whole of chapter 1, apart from the very first little bit. And to read a whole chunk of the Bible out loud. It's a different experience to reading just silently. Both are valid and both are purposeful, but when you read out loud, you have to speak every single word rather than scan. And as you do, whether you have music or playing or not is irrelevant, but as you do, rather than trying to think about it as you might normally do or investigate it, just thank God for his word. That's it. Thank God for the truth of his word. And what it does is, it's like I said, what do you do when you're hungry? You eat. What do you do when you're thirsty? You drink. You're eating and you're drinking God's word. You're not studying it. You're not thinking it. You're not analyzing it. You're just feasting upon the word at that point. Okay? All those other things are important. This is just one way to pray. Now, when you've done that, and we're going to do this as community, but you can do it when you're on your own. It's a great thing to do when you're meeting as house church or just with a group of friends and you want to pray together. You can also pray the word. And that's what we're going to do next. Having been thankful for it, it's like it gives a power injection to the next bit. Because having been thankful for the word to God, you're suddenly praying that word over one another and over the church. Now, we're going to use the word. I want our focus to be, because we're together as the church, to be this church today. Many often we're praying for every congregation in town or we're praying for the town. I think today we should pray for this congregation. Because we are exhorted to pray for our congregation, for ourselves and for our leaders. And so how are we going to do this next bit then? Well, in a minute I'm going to ask you to split up into groups of 3 and 4. I know we don't normally do that on a Sunday morning, but we're going to today. And you can let's mess all the chairs up just to get into those groups. They don't need to stay in the rows. They're going to go away after the meeting anyway. And in those groups, take turns, but don't force anybody to read. Some people are not comfortable reading out loud with other adults, so don't make anything of it at all. If somebody's not keen to do that bit, it doesn't matter. Okay, but make sure you've got somebody in the group that will. And take turns just reading a few verses. This particular passage is very, very rich, so it's, when we did it Thursday night, we were reading 4 to 6 verses. This, you might only want to read 1 or 2 or 3. And then after it's been read, as a group, just pray that scripture. How do you do that? I'll give you a little bit of an example, but obviously it's a big topic. Let's say I've just read verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything out in conformity with the purpose of his will. And again, don't worry if you've all got different editions. It doesn't matter. Actually, it just gives you more insight. So I might just say, thank you, Lord, that we are chosen. Father, I thank you that every person in this church has been chosen for this time. Thank you, Lord, that we've been called for this time, and you've called us to live lives worthy as your chosen people. And that's it. Don't pray long prayers, because you're in a small group, and what is ideal is if you've got the maximum participation in the group of people praying. And if there's somebody in your group that finds praying out loud difficult, don't pressurize them. But if you're able to just, even if it's just today for the first time, you say something like, thank you, Jesus, that we are a chosen people. That's a great first step. And as one person prays, before you go into your next bit, agree with them. Say, that's right. Amen. That's good. That's really good. Whatever. No, don't say whatever. I mean, as an example. We're chosen. Whatever. No, I don't mean that. So we're going to do now. It's 12:05. And I do want us to, after this, to go back into worship, and you'll find there will be a different anointing on the worship, because as the people of God, we focused on the Word. Okay? So we'll cut down the worship slightly. We'll come back to worship at about 20 past. So that's quite a long time as a group. So you've not got to rush through the scripture. If you only read the first 7 verses, that's fine. If you happen to go into chapter 2, that's also fine. Okay? There's no set rules. It's just about praying scripture. So if you were here Thursday night and you're with people that were all here Thursday night, it might be good to spread around the room a little bit and help those that weren't, because you were doing it then. Or if you feel a little bit more experienced, try and be with people who may not be as confident as you. Okay. So don't all get into a conversation, but try and get into a group pretty quickly. Start reading a small passage and then begin to pray that passage. And that's what we're going to do now until 20 past. The music will carry on playing.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.